Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 34, Choosing Your Half Ironman Event. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes, when you don't always have a sponsor to pay the way.
And we certainly don't have a sponsor. We haven't been out begging for one of those yet.
Did you get the little connection there? If you don't have a sponsor, you have to be a bit careful about which events you choose.
Oh.
Because they're not cheap. They're not cheap.
Nice leader. See, that's what we've been missing. I had to do a podcast on my own and it just wasn't the same. And then everyone's been missing you. The phone has been running hot, Doug, to say, bring back Doug.
Hashtag bring back Doug.
Absolutely.
Love it. Well, it's good to see you again.
Yeah, thanks for coming back from holiday. Glad you did.
Yeah, I kind of had to.
Yeah.
If there was another option, I may have picked that. But yeah, it's been a little while. I had a very nice break, but we're back to it. And we should probably, again, tell everybody who we are.
Yeah, just in case that perhaps we have a new listener. We'll see. So I'm Gerard. I'm the coach.
I love the optimism. A new listener. Yeah.
And so I've been coaching as Mr. Smith for 10 years now. And the podcast is something more recent in the last year or so. And they really started out for our team as just a way to get information out to the people in the team. But yeah, we suspect there are probably a few other non-team members who are getting the benefits too. And that's fantastic. All good for you.
Yeah. And if you're somewhere way away from New Zealand, do let us know.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm Doug. I'm probably here for health and safety reasons because it's just not appropriate for a man of your age to spend a lot of time in a shed
correct.
At the front of the house on his own.
Global headquarters it is.
Yeah, if only they could see. But yeah, no, good to be back. And so you did fly solo last week.
Yeah, I did. Had to record an episode by myself. And it was, wasn't quite the same, but hopefully got the message across. I was talking about 5 steps to improve your nutrition. So if anyone wants a recap on that, please do go listen to the episode. But very quickly, number one, eat more veggies. It's best way to health, eat more veggies. No one can dispute the health benefits of veggies. Eat them. Number two was to eat more slowly, just to slow down, become a lot more aware of what you're eating, how you're eating, how you're interacting with your food. Number three, all about fueling your training and your recovery. So you can fuel your performance and consider any weight loss or any other aspect as separate from that. There's 2 different things that we're doing. Number four, improving your sleep quality, because it's just phenomenal the linkage between sleep and nutrition and health. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah.
And number 5 was don't overthink it. Really easy. So many people get caught up in the what's on the internet, the new fad or new ideas. And look, I'm all for trying new things, but don't get over obsessive about it. It's food. We all need it. We've got to have a bit of fun in life as well.
Yeah, and you know, podcasts and radio are not the best for seeing some facial expressions. But I've spent 2 weeks on holiday breaking all of those rules completely.
It's a holiday.
And when you say overthink, I always thought I could eat or drink some more. But there we go. It gives me something to work on. Before we dive in, you talked a little bit about what the podcast is about. And I think just important to reiterate, you know, we talk about practical, you know, advice for everyday athletes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not the racing snakes, slightly overused phrase. It's for people out there who have jobs, 9 to 5,
yep.
Some even, you know, longer hours than that, who have a passion for it and are just giving it their best, whatever that might be,
yeah.
To be the best person they can be.
That's it.
Yep, at the pointy end, there's some age group world championship qualifiers, but right in the middle of that distribution curve, there's a bunch of us just really, you know,
doing the best with what you've got.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. And we're kind of targeting people who are 5, 6, 7, 8 hours for a half Ironman, say, somewhere in that range.
Yep.
And like you said, it's practical advice. We want to give you things that you can take away and do something, the things that are going to make the biggest difference. If you're looking for the 1%ers, you're going to have to go find those somewhere else. But if you want the 80%, no, which way does it go? The 20% that makes the 80% difference?
Just something call it like the 80-20 rule.
That's it, yeah.
That'll do. Quick question, if people are listening and they think, okay, how many hours a week is that if I just want to take part but give it a nudge? How many hours a week of training are you across, you know, in total?
It's going to be different. There's no perfect answer, because it is going to depend on, firstly, how much time you have available and how much training you can do and recover from.
Gotcha.
So, I say it is different. Our squad plans that we've got, there's kind of a range, and right now, this time of year, some of them are starting out at about 6 hours training a week.
Yep.
So very roughly an hour a day just to get things going. When we get up to a peak, some of the faster people on the team, that are chasing bigger times, they'll be doing a bit more. They'll be doing kind of 12 to 14 hours might be a big week. But anyone, you can do these events happily with, I say, 10 hours a week of training. Certainly seen people do them well on less.
Yep.
It really depends on your circumstance.
Yeah, I put you on the spot a bit there, but you know, I'm probably at peak. I'll get to about 10 to 12, but as you're right, it's about what time the athlete indicates they have available, and you can then, if they're, you know, getting a tailored program, you make it fit around their life, their job, their family.
And for those on the squad plans, there are options.
Yep.
On Sunday, if you've got 1 hour available, do this. If you've got three, do this.
Yep. Fantastic.
Yeah.
You mentioned the team.
Mm.
You know, the fast, the slow, the in-between, the enthusiasts. What's been going on? I know I've been away for a bit, but there was Wu2K while I was away.
Yeah, so that was the focus for our team here in Wellington, and it is the Wellington Urban Ultra Marathon and Ultra Marathon. And so we had a bunch of people doing the marathon distance and a few doing the longer distance. Absolutely brutal course. Nothing but hills around Wellington. But geez, it's a stunning course as well. They've been very, very lucky with that event. They've been running the last 4 years, and every year they've managed to find a window of great weather in amongst winter.
And it was a window, because about 12 hours after the finish, it rained solidly.
Thundered and hailed and all sorts, yeah. So yeah, the team did that, and I think very clearly the weather, a good day does add to the feeling and the mood, but I was just stoked to see out there the smiles on everyone's faces, the grimaces at times when people are working hard, the legs are getting pretty knackered, but really successful day for the team.
And I think we've mentioned it a couple of times, but you know, you've certainly been hit by it, but a bit of that midwinter blues, midwinter illness is knocking a few people for six.
I think, to be honest, must be at least 90% of the squad have got sick over this winter in just the last month or so. It's just been crazy. No one can avoid those bugs, and that's just a reality of training at this time of year. So we just got to deal with it. It's you take some time off, you get yourself healthy so you can come back to the training.
I'm sure there was a podcast, if we had a list, I could refer to the correct one about just accepting it as part of, it's just part of the way the cookie crumbles. Don't feel guilty that you're missing sessions.
Yeah.
Just get well. Because if you try to go back too soon, you'll probably end up getting crook again.
Yeah.
Or even worse, yeah.
Or no benefit from the training that you're doing, because your body's just not quite there for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a bit of sunshine on Wu2K day.
Yes. Yep.
Everybody's looking. I had to go and find sunshine. but summer, you know, we're past the shortest day, so summer's on the way.
It's all good from here on in.
So with that, you kind of got to have a little bit of a think about what events you're going to do.
Yeah, so we're in July, and by now, probably a lot of people have decided which events they're going to do, but I thought we'd have a chat about the different half Ironman events around New Zealand, so that if you're still making up your mind, you can get an idea of the flavour of each of them, and might help make some decisions.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of things to consider, as I sort of said jokingly, you know, we don't all have a sponsor, but you know, there's travel, there's accommodation, there's entry fees, and those three aspects vary depending which event you choose.
Yep, absolutely.
So yeah, well worth a bit of a run through of some of the choices.
So how many different ones have you done, Doug?
Not many.
Okay.
I'm going to say, he said off the top of his head, two.
Okay, right.
So I've done Taupo a bunch of times.
Yep.
And I did Karapiro one year.
Right.
Which was intriguing. Unfortunately, the night before the event, they informed us that there would be no aid stations on the bike and you had to carry all your own nutrition. I was at that point you know, 400 kilometers from home and only had enough room for two bottles. And yeah, it turned into a really nasty day of dehydration, cramps, and I'm never going to do one of these again.
And that event's no longer around.
Yeah, hey, it was an experience. But yeah, let's talk about the events that are out there. And I think well worth, if you, because you've certainly done a wider variety than me. And there's about the time of year, there's the atmosphere, because some are certainly more relaxed than others, some are pretty intense. And again, you know, the location, some people like to do something different. Some people like to go back to the same place and try and get a PB, you know, assuming the weather is relatively similar. So one of the do you want to go in chronological order?
Let's, the order they fall.
That's in date order, just in case.
Thank you. All right, so starting in, well, traditionally December, this year it's actually the, I think the 30th of November is where it falls, is Iron Māori in Napier. And so they, last year was the 10th anniversary of this event. And it started out very much as a movement to get Māori and Pacific people healthy and active. And it's really, really grown from there. And it is now a really popular event, and particularly popular for first-timers, because the atmosphere is really all about supporting and accomplishment of actually just doing this event. There's a lot of people doing solo. There's a lot of people doing teams because they're just kind of working their way into it. But incredible thing to be part of. But there's, I don't think there are any cutoff times to worry about. The some of the rules are fairly loose around drafting and things like that. They really just want to get people out there and involved in the sport.
But it is so. I understand it's reasonably relaxed and loose in a good way. But it's about someone being able to say they've completed a half Ironman event without the pressures that some of the other races come with. And I've heard nothing but great things about the atmosphere.
I did it last year for the first time and just loved it. Because yes, there are a few people out there faster and racing it, but the majority of the field, it's about the accomplishment of actually just doing one of these events. And so the huge support on the sidelines. The course actually is changing this year. And they've had a few issues over the years, I think, with the Pandora Pond where the swim is, just the water quality there. So they've changed the course. It's if you haven't been there for a few, if you haven't been back for a few years, then maybe it's a chance to go and do a different course. Still in Napier. And I think big thing in Napier is that traditionally it gets hot on the run. It's December, but yeah, that time of year, still you're getting stinking hot on the run. So if you're someone who doesn't love the heat, then, well, actually all of them there in summer, aren't they? It's going to get hot at some stage.
Just a quick one, and probably worth mentioning for all of the halves, what's the ride like, hills-wise?
So it was...
From memory. Or they've changed it, though.
Yeah, they have. So the new course, just from looking at the map, anyone who's done the Harbour to Hills course event up in Napier, which we'll talk about later, it's a similar bike course to that. There's a few short, sharp hills, but otherwise it's a reasonable amount of, it mostly flat.
Yeah. I'm just thinking it's one of those things to consider. If it's your first event you're entering, you maybe want to look at the race, the profile, particularly of the bike. Hopefully the water's flat. But yeah, the bike can be a bit of a could be a bit of a challenging aspect if it's your first time. But
So good point. So here there will be a couple of shorter, steeper hills, but they'll only take a few minutes to get up. It's not a long lifetime grind.
Okay. So and from there we go west to Taupō.
Good geography.
I had to think about it for a second. So yeah, December, I don't know what date exactly, around the 9th, 10th, it's kind of that second Saturday in December. This one I've done a bunch of times, and for those that don't know, it uses a very similar course to the full Ironman.
Well, interesting you say that.
Until recently, and Gerard is going to clarify.
No, the word is, haven't seen its details yet, Next year, yes, there will be the 70.3 World Champs in Taupō. So they're going to apparently run a different course for that. So this year's event is going to test out that course.
Okay.
That's the word I've heard. What that course looks like, don't know. But let's talk about what you normally experience out there.
Yeah, flat lake.
Beautiful lake.
In my experience, when it's not flat, it's not fun. And yeah, I think by Ironman and half Ironman standards, that I'm going to say the ride's pretty flat.
Yeah,
there is a bit of a climb to get out of town,
but it's pretty gradual climbing.
Yep, there's no real gut busters. Ever so slightly downhill once you're out of town, all the way to Reparoa,
mm-hmm.
you turn around and guess what? It's ever so slightly uphill on the way back. And then, you know, the run is just as along the lakefront, and you know, like anything, if you've done it a bunch of times, I suppose you could be a bit dismissive, but you know, you're beside a beautiful lake.
Yeah,
there's mountains in the background, and the support is fantastic as well.
Yeah,
lots of people in town.
Yeah, a lot of people come to support their athletes, and so stay in town. So yeah, great on the sidelines there for sure.
Yeah, and depending on the accuracy of Gerard's commentary, previously it was a good one to do if you were maybe thinking of doing the full Ironman.
Yeah.
The following March, because it gave you a real good feel for the course and just an experience of being in town and that whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Taupora is a great place for events because the town really gets in behind and supports it. The shops dress themselves up. The locals volunteer to do everything out there. It's great. One thing about this one is that it is an Ironman branded event, and there are people who are going there to race for slots to go to the World Champs. So this is probably one of the more competitive races at the pointy end of the field. There's a lot of people with very skinny legs and very aero wheels, and it's pretty easy to go there and feel intimidated. But because you see a lot of those people around town, but in reality the majority of the field are ordinary people doing this with the best that they've got.
Yeah. And we don't have exact details on entry fees, but being an Ironman branded event, there is, and with qualification slots, it does come with a bit more of a price tag. So
yeah, it is one of the more expensive ones.
Check those things out when you're looking to commit.
Yeah.
Sticking around a similar part of the country, Rotorua.
So yep, third weekend in a row.
It is. It is the week after.
So Iron Māori 70.3 Rotorua, 3 weekends in a row. There's a few people who do the double or the triple. It's pretty impressive. So they call this all of the branding on their gear for Rotorua Half is Suffer.
Mm.
And that's what they really pitch it as. And I think they like to really play that up. It is a tough course. There's no doubt about that. Between this one and Wanaka, they are the two tougher events in the country. The swim in the lake is just absolutely magic. It's a small lake, well protected. Generally, that time of year, December, the water is actually quite warm. So if you want a warm swim, this is the one to go to.
Just actually on that, Gerard, that we're on to the third event, but the others are going to be wetsuit swims, aren't they?
Yes.
Always.
Yep.
Almost always.
I cannot remember an event in New Zealand which hasn't been a wetsuit swim.
Yeah.
The rules allow officials to go and find the coldest part of the course they possibly can and take the temperature there.
Again, just something for someone who's picking an event. And me, you know, swimming, not my favourite thing. Love having the wetsuit.
Yeah.
If it was a wetsuitless swim or whatever they call it.
Yep.
Yeah. I might have to.
and that's a good point.
I might pull a hamstring on the way to the swim entry.
Because especially in a lake, you have less buoyancy.
Yep.
So if being in a wetsuit and the salt water is something that really makes a difference to you, go for think about that for your events.
Yep. So back to Rotorua, beautiful swim, and then I've heard, is there a bit of a hill as you start the bike course?
You literally get on your bike and you're going up a hill straight away. And so it's not too bad from that side, and then there's a big downhill. There's basically two very tough climbs on the bike, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but you might be looking at 10 minutes per climb.
Right.
Very roughly, and like steep, tough climbing.
Yeah.
So it does suit someone who has a good power to weight ratio on the bike, but don't let that stop you because it's a beautiful bike course. You go out around a number of lakes, so you just get different views, changing views through through some native bush. It's
beautiful.
Yeah, they really do pitch it. It's tough, but it is beautiful.
it may, you know, reduce the suffering ever so slightly.
Yeah, yeah.
And the run, just to finish, is off-road, a combination of off-road and sort of
primarily off-road.
Yep.
And there's a hill. Everyone talks about the hill in the run. So yeah, you kind of go around the corner, drop down a hill out to another lake, and then have to come back up that hill. So yeah, it's because of the surface, the off-road, because of the hill, it's a slow run.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's this whole course, it's not a fast one at all, but that run off-road, it's beautiful. Again, by lakes, in bush.
Stunning.
I was going to say, can get hot. They're all going to get hot.
New Zealand at its finest.
Yeah.
Next one. Now, I've not heard of this one. You've thrown this one in.
Yeah.
The Oxman.
It's only just been announced.
Or Oxman, whatever.
Oxman.
Yeah.
And the name comes from Oxford in, is it North Canterbury?
Yep.
Somewhere like
that. Yep.
Yeah. So the event is in Canterbury. And anyone who listens to the I Am Talk podcast, John Newsom, he's from the podcast, he's the one organising it. He does a number of other events down there. So you can know it'll be a really good event to do because it'll be relaxed but well organised.
Yep.
I don't know the details of the course. I'm just not familiar with that part of the country. There is a course map. If you go to the website oxman.co.nz, you can find out about it.
Canterbury, flat, hopefully, maybe. But yeah, as Gerard said, jump online. But different to the first three we've discussed, obviously this one's, you know, just north of Christchurch as opposed to the others, which are sort of central central North Island-ish.
Yeah, and it's great to have another event option down there because previously Challenge Wanaka has been pretty much it.
Yep.
So this one earlier in the year, you can fit a couple in the season if you're in the South Island or want to travel down that way.
And I can imagine if there's a bit of a nor'wester blowing, it could be quite brutal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, good point.
Check that bike course out. It might be flat, but you might be going into a nor'wester on the way out. Then we all take a little bit of a break for Christmas and New Year.
Yes.
Apart from those people who've decided to do something in January.
So, 12th of January, I think it is, Port of Tauranga Half. This race is the fastest in New Zealand. It's a flat bike ride, flat run, good surfaces for both, so it's fast. If you want to get your PB, this is the place you go.
Yep. And it probably will be hot, and the swim is in the sea.
The swim is in the sea?
The harbour-ish.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, really interesting about the swim is the times can vary quite a lot year to year, and it's just purely because of the tides and the currents. So don't go to this event with a very strong swim time goal because, depending on what's happening on the day, then your time might be way fast or way slow.
Yep, yep. But again, another beautiful part of New Zealand and...
But yeah, flat. If you want to go flat and fast, this is the place to go.
Yep, superb. Now, another one that's moved, I believe.
Mm.
Harbour to Hills.
So this one started, I think, 3 years ago now in Napier. And it was previously in April, very late in the season. And so a lot of people loved it for that reason. You could fit one more in. But also I think a lot of people were over the season by then.
Yeah.
So they've moved it now into mid-January, late January actually. And so for this one, what I'd say is expect it to be hot. Mid-January in Napier, it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. The course is going to be quite similar to Iron Māori. And if you're doing one, then I think this is the bit of a shame, actually, that the courses are so similar now, that Iron Māori used to go in a completely different direction.
Yep.
And so now you've got two events in the same place with similar courses. But, hey, that's how it is. The Harbour to Hills, it's a local event run by the Tri Club. It is relaxed but really well organised. The roads are fantastically marshalled. Good support out there.
And is it hilly?
So the bike, again, like I said before, with Iron Māori, there's some short, sharp climbs.
Right, okay, sorry. I thought you were talking about the old Iron Māori course.
Oh, okay.
So now, okay.
Yeah, so the new one.
Yeah.
And for Harbour to Hills, you do two laps of the Tukituki Valley where they've got these hills. So, again, it's not what I would consider or call a hilly course when you compare it to something like Rotorua.
Yeah.
But just know that you are in for a couple of short, sharp climbs.
Okay.
But you ride under Tamata Peak. You go past, I can't remember the name of it, Craigie Range Winery, I think it is.
Without stopping.
Well, yeah. First time I just about fell off my bike going, whoa, what's that?
Yeah, probably a post-event drink, maybe. Speaking of wine country, Central Otago.
Yes.
And Challenge Wanaka.
Challenge Wanaka.
So that's in February, is it?
February it is, yeah. Yep. I think 2 weeks before Ironman New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah, and they changed their time, I think, to fit in with that because they get a lot of professionals coming over and they'll do Challenge Wanaka, have a race there, then go on to Ironman New Zealand.
And with Challenge Wanaka, is it full distance as well as half?
No, not anymore.
They did that. That's why I asked. I thought somewhere I heard it's just a half distance. It is a just. Half. Yeah. It is a half distance only.
Yeah, yep. They used to have the full, but they've got taken it back to the half now.
Okay.
So this one, I haven't done this one. So I'm going just purely on what I've heard from others. And big thing is swim in the lake there, beautiful lake, but it can be chilly.
Yep.
The change of timing gives the lake a bit longer to warm up. So last couple of years it's been okay, but just know the lake can be chilly. The bike ride, it's undulating. There's hardly a flat spot. There's no real big climbing in it, but it's just always going slightly up or down. So some people comment they find it really hard to get into a rhythm because it's just always changing.
Yeah.
And a very, very rough road surface. So, if you think of a New Zealand kind of open road, big heavy chip seal, it's pretty slow going for that reason as well.
Like it needs to be rugged down there to cope with the winter. And I think the run goes round the, it's known as the outlet track, which is off-road, which is just, again, stunning, but it is off-road. And, again, don't be looking for a PB
because
you kind of got to be watching where you're going, but you run around the lake, the edge of the lake, and then down the river that runs, and it is stunning, and like a lot of these places we've mentioned, just beautiful parts of New Zealand.
Absolutely, and they really promote it internationally for that reason, and get a lot of international people coming there.
Yeah, and again, I think back in the day when it was a full option, and it was one massive, not a loop, but certainly a big out and back, and it was blowing a northerly, and people are bombing along at about 55 kilometres an hour on the way out, and then they turned and 12. Yeah.
Bit of a lonely day grinding into that.
Yeah, but hey, beautiful part of the world.
For sure.
And again, a nice South Island option for those from a travel perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you mentioned it already. Some people do that, the elites, in preparation for Ironman, but on the same day as Ironman in Taupo, there is the 70.3.
Yes, they do a half-distance event on the same day. And traditionally, that's been a smaller field than the December event. This year, I suspect, being a qualifier for the World Champs, it's going to be quite a popular event. So
qualifying slots are available both in December this year and March next year.
Yeah, that's right.
For December of next year.
Correct.
So the World Championships are going to be the 70.3 in December of 2020.
Yeah, it's actually going to be late November.
Okay.
But details.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why am I asking? I don't know. But I'm asking for a friend.
but both of those events are going to be popular this year because there's a lot of people coming out of the woodwork, and there's also a lot of extra slots available here in New Zealand, or in New Zealand and Australia, because we're close to where the World Champs will be.
Yep.
They're going to get a lot of local athletes coming in for it.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, but busy events. A lot of people are going to do both, December and March, as a double opportunity to qualify. So if you're keen, get in for those events now.
And keep an eye out for that course detail that Gerard mentioned. Obviously, it'll be the same as the December 70.3 of this year. Possibly.
No.
No? Oh, gee.
But simply because of, I know, confusing. Too many events, too many courses. Logistics of running Ironman, that they'll be on the same course.
Yeah, should have realised.
Yeah.
I'll remember for next time. But on the plus side as well, outside of course details, if you're doing a 70.3 and you've got friends doing the full, it's great because you're kind of done by lunchtime, and then you can go and support your friends and, have a beer whilst they're still got 4 or 5 hours of pain to go through.
For sure.
Now, we've mentioned a bunch of half Ironman events. There are some people in the squad where, due to injuries or, you know, general old age or whatever the case may be, they can't do running. And predominantly it's can't do the running.
Yeah.
And there are some aquabike options out there. So swim, bike.
Yeah, that's right. Options. So a number of these events now have got that as an option. And they're great because it means if you are injured, you can still do a race. Or if running is not your thing, you can get involved and still do these races. So Aquabike is really growing in New Zealand, and it's going to keep getting more popular, I think.
Yeah, so a really good option for someone who wants to compete on their own and do their thing, but don't do the running. Of course, at almost all of these, there are team options.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're not a great swimmer, find one and do the bike and run yourself, or do it as a team of three. There's people that do the swim,
yeah,
then have a leisurely couple of 3 hours whilst someone's out on the bike, and then they do the run.
Yep.
So it's really,
mix and match.
Mix it up.
And it's a great way, if you've got friends or family interested in the sport, to get them involved.
Yeah.
To put a team together so that they can be part of it, but don't yet have to do the full thing.
Yep.
And they'll just love the atmosphere being part of it. They'll get hooked.
Superb.
Yeah.
So I think we're setting a record time for the longest podcast we've done.
We are.
So I'm just going to carry on talking.
You've been saving it up, haven't you, for weeks?
So, that's a bunch of events. Quick summary around, the whys and wherefores and how you might make a decision.
Yes, I think we talked about differences between them all, but I think just recognise every event is going to have faster and slower people. Okay, so you won't be out of place no matter where you go. If you're looking for a more relaxed event, go for one of the not necessarily smaller ones, but the lower key ones like Iron Māori, like Rotorua, the likes of those.
Yep.
If you're looking for the hype and the kind of the circus that goes with the likes of Ironman, go for those ones because it's pretty cool to be part of those things.
And like anything, just ask someone in the squad or someone you know I know someone who's just about done all of those, apart from the Oxman. Not the same person, by the way. And get their thoughts and their views on the day, because, some people like the more relaxed approach as opposed to the this needs to be done by then and there's this cut-off time and the drafting is absolutely stipulated and blah, blah, blah. It's not for everyone.
And I think the great thing is across all these events, I've never heard anyone who comes away going, oh, that will stink.
Yeah.
It's you're doing a half Ironman and in beautiful parts of the country. So,
there's the odd person who grumbles about the goodie bag, but I won't. I'm not going to mention Warren. Whoops.
Oops.
So, lots of options. Get online, have a quick look, make a decision. You won't be disappointed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. So, look, our time's up, but I thought just before we go, a bit of blatant self-promotion. That if you know someone who is thinking about doing a half Ironman, a bit unsure, then please do share this podcast with them. Tell them about it. They can hopefully help them make a decision. And if you like what you're hearing here, then you can come and join our team. Okay, we have a squad here in Wellington, and we've also got an online squad from people around the country. And so we all connect together and be part of the discussions that we have around these podcasts. And pick up a lot of other tips from not just me, but others in the team who have been there, done that.
Yeah. I don't get paid to do this. So what I'm about to say is free advice or whatever. But I love being part of Gerard's squad. There's some super serious people. But like any normal distribution curve, there's a big bunch in the middle who are just passionate, supportive. The camaraderie of what is predominantly an individual sport is fantastic. And there's all that. There's lots of free advice.
Yeah.
You can choose to take it or not. But all in all, a really good bunch of people. And Gerard knows his stuff. So, it's not for the racing snakes. It's for people who just want a bit of practical advice and a good bunch of people to train with.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And that's something I always wanted from the coaching that I was doing, was to be a part of something with a good bunch of people. And a bit of mutual backslapping. But Doug, you're one of those people, and that you keep it real, you keep it fun, and we've got a bunch of others who are the same.
So I am paying Gerard to say that. But always a pleasure, and good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Doug. Tune again in again next week.
We'll do.